Proverbs 31, 10 through 12. Proverbs 31, 10 through 12. Proverbs chapter 31, verses 10 through 12. Who can find a virtuous wife? For her worth is far above rubies. The heart of her husband safely trusts her, so he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. You may be seated. Let's join our hearts together in prayer as we come to this text of Scripture. Our Father, we do pray that by your grace and for your glory, you would minister to us by your word, and you would help us to know your truth. Help everyone here to know how this text applies, and help me to minister this text to your beloved people here. Help us to hear to our prophet and to be doers of your word and not hearers only, deceiving ourselves. Thank you for this time, and we pray your blessing upon it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So we have seen the counsel that King Lemuel's mother has been giving to him. We've seen her warning about not giving his strength to women, the danger of sexual immorality. We saw that she also warned him of the dangers of wine and the dangers of excessive use of wine. We saw last Lord's Day of her exhortation to her son about how he is to govern and be a just magistrate, how he is to show kindness and compassion and plead the cause of the poor and needy and to speak up for the speechless. And now it seems to be that his mother is continuing to give him counsel. And before, in verse 3, she was warning him of the danger of giving his strength to women, to sexual immorality. Now, from verses 10 to 31, his mother explains to him what a good woman is like. What is it like to have a good wife? What is a good, virtuous, and godly wife like? And so this mother is explaining to her son what he should desire in a woman, what he should want, what makes a woman good and pleasing in God's sight. And so this section of Scripture is God's description of what a good and virtuous wife is. And so these are descriptions of what God thinks is valuable in a wife. Because even though this is coming from King Lemuel's mother, ultimately this is coming from the Holy Spirit of God. And therefore this is God's wisdom of a virtuous woman, of a virtuous wife. But this text is applicable to all of us in different ways, whether we're women or not. For those who are not married, that would want to be married, this shows you what you should look for. This section shows you what does it look like for a woman to be godly, for a woman to be a desire to get married to. What is a virtuous woman? For girls, for women, it helps them who are not married to know what they ought to pursue if they desire to be married. What should they grow in to be a virtuous woman, to be a virtuous wife? It shows what men who are married, what they should pray for their wives, what they should encourage and exhort their wives in. And for women who are married, it shows them what they should grow in to be a faithful wife and mother. It shows them what God's desire for them is. And for those who might never get married again or never married, it shows if they're giving counsel to someone, what they should encourage someone to look for when they look for a spouse, when they look for a wife. And also this section of Scripture is very valuable for parents to know what they should encourage their sons to look for in a wife. What should fathers encourage their sons to look for? Because obviously fathers are going to shape what their sons want in a wife, and fathers should have God's perspective from Proverbs 31 and other portions of Scripture of what should I encourage my sons to look for in a wife. And we see in Proverbs 31 great counsel of what a godly, virtuous woman is like. And so for all of us, we can all take something from this passage. Even if we're not women, we can take something from this passage, because this passage has application to all of us, even though uniquely in different ways. So the main point of verses 10 through 12 of Proverbs 31, a virtuous wife is a treasure, trustworthy, and thoughtful. A virtuous wife is a treasure, trustworthy, and thoughtful. My first point, a virtuous wife is a treasure. A virtuous wife is a treasure. My second point, a virtuous wife is trustworthy. A virtuous wife is trustworthy. And my third point, a virtuous wife is thoughtful. A virtuous wife is thoughtful. So again, my first point, a virtuous wife is a treasure. Matthew Henry says about this portion of scripture, he says, quote, "This description of the virtuous woman is designed to show what wives the women should make and what wives the men should choose," end quote. So we see in this, it shows what wives the women should make, what a woman should be as a wife, and what type of women a man should choose as a wife. And so this is important. These are two key areas where this is given. And sometimes we can forget, I said at the beginning, but we can forget that this counsel is actually given to a man. It's given to King Lemuel. It's given to a son from his mother saying, "My son, this is what a good woman is like." So actually, first and foremost, this is actually counsel to a man, not a woman. Only secondarily, it's to a woman of what she should desire to be. But first and foremost, it's given to a young man who is a king of what he should desire in a wife, what he should look for in a virtuous woman. The text begins, we see, who can find a virtuous wife? Who can find a virtuous wife? In the margin of my Bible, it says literally, a wife of valor. Who can find a woman of valor, a wife of valor? Who can find a virtuous woman? So we see here in the beginning that what's going to be described throughout this chapter is a virtuous wife, a virtuous woman. When we use the word virtuous, we mean someone who is a woman who is of noble character, a woman of godly character, a woman who is marked, as we'll see in verse 30, a woman who fears the Lord, as we'll see in verse 26, a woman who opens her mouth with wisdom, as we also see in verse 26, a woman who on her tongue is the law of kindness. We also see a woman that is industrious and a hard worker as she cares for her family. And so these are some of the things that makes this woman virtuous. She is a woman of godly moral character. She is a woman of valor. And the question is, who can find a woman like this? We should not take from that by saying a woman like this doesn't exist. We should just say that these type of women, as described in Proverbs 31, are not in abundance. It is rare to find a woman that truly is, not perfectly, but sincerely, like the Proverbs 31 woman, and therefore, the one who can find this type of woman is greatly blessed, because these type of women are not everywhere to be found. A type of woman that Proverbs 31 described is rare and therefore so valuable. We think about this in as it relates to supply and demand. The reason why, my very basic understanding of economics, I'm certainly not an expert, but the reason why things are more expensive at times is because there's less supply. That's what raises the cost, because there's less supply of it. If you have tons of something, it's not going to be as expensive. If something is very rare, it's going to make it more expensive, because there's not much of it. Supply and demand, as we call it. And so that's what makes this woman so valuable, is because there are not many like her. There are not many like her, so she's so valuable. She's so precious. She is, as I used in my point, she is a treasure. She is a treasure. Because we see, after asking the question, who can find a virtuous wife? So that's the question that's given. Who can find a virtuous wife? For this type of woman who's a virtuous wife, her worth is far above rubies. It's interesting. It doesn't say she's equal to rubies. It doesn't say she's above rubies. It says she's far above rubies. So rubies and a wife, it's not like that. It's not even above rubies. It's far above rubies is her value. That's what's being described. A virtuous woman is far above rubies. Her value is greater than anything a ruby or a gem could give you. So to make it practical in the reality of what it's getting at, it would be better. Well, let's put it like this. Let me put it like this. If a man had an option to get a bad, ungodly, selfish, contentious woman, but lots of money if he chose that woman. In contrast to getting a very virtuous woman, a very godly woman, but getting $0 out of that, it would be better, a million times better, for him to pick the good woman and no money. Because if he gets all that money with a bad woman, it'll be worse for him. Because the woman, the good, godly woman, is far above getting lots of money. It's far above getting many rubies. Her value is greatly above any diamond, any ruby that a person could get. A good woman is a blessing of unspeakable value. This is really, it's almost, there's hard to put it any more strikingly. Again, not equal to rubies, not above rubies, but far above rubies is the way this woman is described. It is better to have a good wife and have little money than lots of money and a bad wife. That's what this verse is teaching. Because a wife is more valuable than anything money could give you. A good wife is more valuable than any gold or silver or rubies that anyone could ever acquire. A good woman is a blessing that cannot be estimated. The joy, the peace, the happiness she brings to a home, her ability to care for the home, care for the children, care for the husband, those things are unspeakably valuable. Let's just take it this way, to use the money thing, because he does compare it related to she's far above rubies. Think about all the things a woman does if she's a stay-at-home wife and mother. She cooks, she cleans, she cares for the home, all those things. If you had to pay someone for all those things that a homemaking wife and mother does, that is a lot of money. That is a lot of money. If you add those up and pay for all those things separately, a cook, someone to clean, someone to do all the things that a good and godly wife does to care for her home, it is so valuable, even if you just compare it monetarily. But we all know that those things are priceless. A good and godly wife, what she does in the home is priceless. There's no value they can put on it. That's why the author is almost, he doesn't have the words to describe. So he says, it's far above rubies. It's far above the greatest gem you could get. Her worth, a good and godly wife, her worth is far above rubies. This is why the Bible says, he who finds a good wife, I'm missing the quote. Let me make sure I get it exactly right. It's Proverbs 18:22. He who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. Or Proverbs 19:14. Houses and riches are an inheritance from fathers, but a prudent wife is from the Lord. And so the one who finds a good wife, you know what he finds? Favor from the Lord. You know the one who gets a prudent wife? It's a gift from the Lord. A prudent wife is from the Lord. And so who can find a virtuous wife? Her worth is far above rubies. Let me just pause here. Our church is full of good wives. Not perfect, but good wives. And the men here should be utterly grateful to their wives. They should be thanking them and praising them and celebrating them. Because you know, many of the things that a wife does, they're not praiseworthy to the world. But you know who they should be praiseworthy to? Their own husbands. They should be praising them and celebrating them and thanking them, saying, you made my life such a blessing. If you have a good wife, you should let her know it. Because she's a blessing to you. Think about all the things she does for you, all the way she cares for you, all the way she's good to you. What a value you have if you have a good wife. What a blessing you have if you have a good wife. You have something far above rubies. And that's why this chapter says, her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, verse 28, and he praises her. That almost sounds idolatrous if it wasn't in the Bible. Sometimes we think about, we only praise God, but here it's actually proper for a husband to praise his wife, for a husband to celebrate his wife and to glory in God giving him a good wife. Because, my beloved brothers, there are a lot of bad women in the world. Manipulative, contentious, nagging, immodest, sour women that maybe they look good on the outside, but when they open their mouth, it's terrible and you want to run. Filth comes out of the mouth. Terrible. And that's why the word of God says a lovely woman or a beautiful woman without discretion is like a gold ring in a pig snout. Because it's terrible. It might look good, but if it's in a pig snout, you don't want it. It's disgusting. But at this church, we have many women. Our women are good women. And us as men should praise God for them. Should praise God for them. Should be thankful that God has given us good women. Because your wife, if you have a good wife, should be worth to you more than rubies. Far above. Let me put it like this. If someone said, you know what? I will give you $10 billion. The only thing you have to do is you have to give up your wife. No. Hopefully all of us would say never. Because we know that a good wife is better than $10 billion. The companionship, the love, the friendship, the care, the help is worth, we would say, no money. You can give me, offer me all the money in the world. I'm not giving up my wife if you have a good wife. Because her worth is far above rubies. Her worth is beyond what rubies can give. And so no amount of money you would say, yeah, you can take my wife if you give me $10 billion. Because her worth is far above rubies. So this is making it very practical what the author is describing by the Spirit. Very practical of her value being far above rubies. And may God give us grace to be thankful for the women. If you have a good and godly wife, to be thankful for her. Because she's worth far above rubies. Now we see second point. A virtuous wife is trustworthy. A virtuous wife is trustworthy. So now we begin to see why is this woman such a prize? Why is she such a blessing? Why is she far above rubies? Verse 11 begins to answer that. The heart of her husband safely trusts her, so he will have no lack of gain. A virtuous wife is such a blessing to a man because he can trust her, because she's trustworthy, because she is a woman that husband can safely trust her. His heart knows that she is reliable. And therefore, he doesn't have to worry if she is going to be an adulterous woman. He doesn't have to worry if she's going to spend the money and they're going to have no money. He doesn't have to worry that everything's going to be chaotic. But he knows that that woman cares about him so much and she wants to glorify God that he can trust her. He can put his heart in her hand, so to speak. Because he knows she loves him and she's trustworthy. A commentary I read by a guy named John A. Kitchen, he puts it like this, quote, he trusts her with the home, his wealth, his reputation, their children, and the whole of their domestic life, end quote. So he trusts her with the home. He knows that her desire is to keep the home well, so he trusts her. He trusts her with his wealth, knowing that she is a woman that isn't going to spend the wealth in reckless ways and they're going to have no money. He trusts his wife with his reputation, knowing that his wife desires to speak well of him and speak to build him up and not to tear him down. He trusts his wife with their children, knowing that her desires for the children are going to be God's desires and therefore good. And he can trust his wife with the whole of their domestic life. And therefore, his heart trusts his wife. He trusts her because she's a trustworthy woman. The heart of her husband safely trusts her. He knows that she is a woman that can be trusted. He knows that she is a woman that is going to be a blessing and not a hindrance. He knows she's a woman that's not going to embarrass him. That's not a woman who he feels like if he takes her somewhere that he's going to be worried. What is she going to say? What is she going to do? Is she going to ruin our time? Is she going to do something foolish? Is she going to start doing things that are unwise and ungodly? No, he can trust her. And therefore, he feels comfortable bringing her wherever they might go because she's trustworthy. And he knows that her desires are to please the Lord. And so he trusts her. And we see as well in verse 11, he can trust her and he trusts her. So, or therefore, he will have no lack of gain. So he trusts her that she's not going to squander the wealth, but she's actually going to bring blessing to the home and use the resources that he brings as the breadwinner for the good and blessing of the home. She can even multiply things and use what you would think, wow, how can this go this far? But a good and godly wife can multiply things and use them beyond what maybe might seem to the eye how it could be used. She brings blessing, she brings value, she brings gain in the sense that she uses the resources that the husband provides in a good and godly way. She is a woman that her husband can trust. There are not many better virtues for a woman than a woman who is trustworthy. A woman that a husband can trust because she has shown herself faithful. He knows that she wants to be a blessing. And so he trusts his wife so he will have no lack of gain. What a blessing to have a wife who's trustworthy, who does what she says and is a woman who can be safely trusted in. That's the type of woman that is described here. Why is this virtuous woman a good woman? Why is she a virtuous wife? Why is she far above rubies in her worth? Because she is trustworthy as a woman of the Lord. But now my third point. A virtuous wife is thoughtful. And yes, I purposely picked three T's. A virtuous wife is thoughtful. So it'll be easier to remember. A virtuous wife is thoughtful. A virtuous wife is thoughtful. I'm getting that from verse 12, of course, where it says she does him good and not evil all the days of her life. She's thoughtful. She's considerate of what her husband wants and desires. And a godly, virtuous woman, you know what her desire is? Under God is, how can I do my husband good? How can I bring blessing to my husband? Her desire under God and for God's glory is, how can I do my husband good? Because the godly woman does her husband good and not evil all the days of her life. She thinks, how can I do him good emotionally? By respecting him and caring for him. How can I do him good physically? By making him nutritious meals and caring for his body. How can I do good for him spiritually? By pointing him to Christ and the Word of God. A woman who does her husband good is thinking in all the areas of life, how can I do my husband good and not evil? How can I bless him? How can I encourage him? And so she is thinking practically and tangibly, what can I do today to make my husband's life better? What can I do today so that I'm doing him good and not evil? A woman who is a woman of virtue is a woman who cares in the way she keeps the home, how she cooks the meals, how she cleans the house, how she cares for the children, all with the umbrella is this going to do my husband good? Is this going to do my husband good? Her desire is to grow and to learn how to be a better wife. And so she wants to do her husband good. A key way a wife does her husband good is by a well-managed, happy, and peaceful home. What a sad reality. I'm sure there are men like this out there that have wives that do not do their husbands good. And you know, when they get off work or when they're coming home, they think, oh, I wish I didn't have to go home. What a sad reality. But that can be real for men. This, I wish I didn't have to go home because I know what she's going to do. She's going to nag, be contentious, be quarrelsome, be argumentative. And I don't want that. But what a blessing when a man knows he's going home to a wife who's going to be cheerful, grateful, and a woman who truly wants to do him good. It makes all the difference. And that's why this woman is a virtuous wife, because she wants to do her husband good. She wants to be a blessing to him. She wants him to experience peace in the home. She wants him to experience the blessing of a well-managed, happy home. And therefore, the husband doesn't dread coming home. He looks forward to it because she does him good and not evil. He wants to be home because he knows home is where a happy place is found, a place of joy, a place of peace. And why is it a place of peace? Because his wife is a woman of peace. His wife is a woman that's marked by the fruit of the Spirit, which is peace. And therefore, that is all over the home. She is a woman who's looking out not only for her own interests, but also for the interests of her husband. She is looking out. How can I care for my husband? This is what makes a virtuous woman. This is what makes her worth far above rubies. This is what makes her a woman that is of great value, because she's trustworthy and because she's thoughtful. She cares about her husband. She cares about what her husband thinks, what her husband wants, what her husband desires. She is a good wife. And she is a wife who does her husband good and not evil all the days of her life. Obviously, there will be times where a wife fails. But even when she fails, because she wants to do her husband good, she feels not happy about it, but sorrow. She feels godly sorrow when she does not seek the good of her husband, because her heart loves doing good to her husband. This is what makes a virtuous wife a virtuous wife. She's trustworthy and she's thoughtful. But as we think about these things, a good wife is a blessing. A good wife is something that is far above rubies. But who ultimately can fulfill what is found in this? As we look at a text like this, who ultimately is the one who is far above rubies, who is the chief among 10,000, who ultimately we can trust in? Who is the one we ultimately know will do us good and not evil all the days of our life? We know it's the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He is the one that is far above rubies. He is the one who, to get him, is to get everything. He's the one that people will sell all that they own to buy a field to get Christ, because he's that valuable. That they'll say, I'll get rid of all my money just to get that field, as we see in the parable. Because Jesus is of greater value than anything the world can offer. And he is the one that we can truly trust, because we will have no lack of spiritual gain if we are in Christ. Christ says through his word that he is our shepherd, and therefore we shall not lack any good thing. He is the one who ultimately we can trust and we can rely on wholeheartedly, knowing that he will do us good, spiritually speaking, and not evil all the days of our life. Because for God's people, everything works together for our good. And therefore, the one who is ultimately virtuous and praiseworthy and trustworthy and thoughtful and caring and compassionate is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And therefore, earthly marriage between a husband and wife is ultimately meant to point us to Christ as the one who ultimately is the one that marriage points to. Any good marriage ultimately is to point to Christ as the one who is the ultimate bridegroom, as the ultimate one who cares for his church, the ultimate one who cares for his people. And so Jesus is the one who ultimately is far above rubies. He is the one who ultimately can be trusted in. He's the one who ultimately does us good and not evil all the days of our life. And so if you're here without Christ, without the salvation that comes in Christ, a woman or a man can never truly desire a godly woman or be a godly woman unless they are first found in Christ. Christ is the foundation to marriage. Marriage must be rooted and grounded in Christ, or it's built on sinking sand. If we build a marriage on anything besides Christ, we have not virtuous, but ungodly. Not virtuous, but vile. Not faithful living, but faithless living. And so it's only through Christ, only through repentance and faith in Christ, that someone can be the virtuous wife or be a virtuous man that would attract a virtuous woman to be a wife. It's only in Christ. It's only through repenting and believing in Jesus Christ that someone can be a virtuous person. And this is what you ladies, those who are ladies here, this is what you should want to be. You should want to be a virtuous wife. You should want to be trustworthy and thoughtful, doing your husband good. You should want to be a woman who truly seeks the good of your husband. And if you aren't married and you want to be married, this is the type of woman you should want to pursue. A woman that you can trust and a woman that desires to do you good. A woman that desires to be a blessing to you. You don't want to marry a woman that has no interest in glorifying God or being a blessing to you, because it will be better to live in a desert or in the corner of a house than to dwell with a contentious woman. It would be terrible to live with a woman who's not virtuous, but a woman who's virtuous will bring such blessing to your life. Even more blessing than getting billions of dollars. And again, married men, as you see these things in your wife, praise her, celebrate her, thank God for her, that she is a woman who is virtuous and to you far above rubies. Praise God for the wife that he's given to you, and praise God that you have the blessing of having that woman in your life. And let us ultimately look beyond a wife, look beyond a mere human, and look to the one who is ultimately the one we look to, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the ultimate one that can truly and perfectly be the one we trust and do us good. Because we know humans will fail us at times, but we know Christ never will. And as believers, if we find our satisfaction, our ultimate hope in a spouse, you know what that's called? Idolatry. And therefore, even though we should be so thankful for a good spouse, we should ultimately not make them a savior, because they're bad saviors. Only Christ is our savior. And a good spouse is rightly received and seen as a treasure insofar as they're seen as a gift from Jesus Christ. And so Christ is the foundation of marriage, and he is truly the one that will do his people good and not evil all the days of their life, because he is the one who came that we might have life and have it abundantly. Amen. Our Father, we thank you for your word, and we pray you would bless these things. Thank you for your truth. In Jesus' name, amen.